Welcome to the Living God Church podcast, where faith comes alive. Join us for powerful messages that inspire, challenge, and equip you to grow closer to God and love Jesus more every day.
I want to talk to you for, I'm going to say 10 minutes, but that's probably not true. It's probably going to be 15. I want to talk to you out of Isaiah 66 this morning, okay? Are you grateful for the presence of the Lord? Okay, all right. Isaiah 66. This is Isaiah. This is the Lord talking to and through his prophet Isaiah, okay? This is the end of Isaiah's book. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house that you could build for me, and where is a place that I may rest? I felt led to this morning. I haven't been reading in Isaiah. I haven't been studying Isaiah. I've done that in the past, but I just felt led here this morning as we come out of this incredible time in the presence of the Lord. And I just want to talk to you for a few minutes about what it looks like to build a house for God. We can build a church, or we can build a building and a group of people and a gathering and a formula and a schedule and call it a church and it not be a house for God. Did you know that? I'm not trying to dunk on them, but the Mormons have a church, a place that they call church. They call it the temple and they call it the church, but it's not a place for God. It's a place for a God, but it's not a place for the God because they deny the deity of Christ. But we can have gatherings and have a schedule and we can call this church, but if God doesn't come, how many of you know it's not church? We've just had a meeting. We've just listened to some songs. I've droned on and talked forever. If the Lord's not here, you don't want to listen to me. I'm boring. You don't want to hear me talk if the Lord's not here. But God equips his people to build a house for him. Listen, I want the lost and the broken and the hurting and the battered and the bruised. I want them all to come in. But this is not a house for them primarily. It is a house for him primarily. Our priority must be to build a place where God delights to visit and then stay. So that's what we're doing. This whole church experiment where we're trying to figure out how long do we worship and when do we pull the plug and when do we move on to the next thing. It's not because, I say this humbly, it's not because I'm worried whether you'll like it or not. I'm worried about how am I building a place so that God can be pleased. And so here God is talking to Isaiah about building a house for him. The house is primarily for God. And then he goes on. Not only is he talking about a house for him, but he is talking about a place where he may rest. I don't know if you know this, but he has a throne. In fact, he says at the beginning of verse 1, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. He's very comfortable where he's at. And yet, he is longing and looking for a place among his people where he can come and find rest. We had a song actually playing this morning, Oh the Glory. And in Oh the Glory, it says, arise to your rest, or from your rest, but arise to your rest. What's it saying? The Lord's seated and enthroned in heaven. Why does he need to arise to his rest? Because we are preparing a place where he can come and rest his head amongst his people. Moses is in the wilderness with the children of Israel in Exodus. They're coming out of Egypt. And the first instruction that God gives him is, I want you to build a place where I can be with my people. The point of the house is for God to be with his people. We have come to encounter God. And if we don't encounter God, we've missed the point of this. So, first thing I just want to point out quickly is God delights in having a place to rest with his people. He delights in that. It's not sacrilegious to say that we want to make room for God to come and be with us. That is the most biblical thing you can do. We don't have a physical Jesus that we can run to. We have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, Paul says, who comes to make his home, yes, in believers, but amongst believers when they are gathered together. So, building a house is foremost for God so that he can come and rest with his people. But how do we build a house for God? He says, you don't need to use your hands. He says, my hand has made all these things. And thus, all these things came into being. He's talking about creation. He's not talking about the chairs. He's saying, I made all of creation, and you want to build a house for me? And then he says this, but to this one I will look. Okay, well, hang on a second. Now let's pay attention. We want to build a house for God, and God's like, you can't do it physically, but here's how you can do it. To him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. This word for look, to this one I will look, it's actually to regard or to pay attention to. It is not that there is anyone that goes outside of the purview of the sight of the Lord. That's just silly. He sees all things. His eyes roam to and fro throughout the whole earth. The Old Testament says, it's somewhere in there. As the writer of Hebrews says, somewhere he has said. His eyes roam to and fro throughout 2 Chronicles 16:9. His eyes roam to and fro throughout the whole earth. Thank you, Lord. But he actually fixes his gaze on this group of people who are humble, contrite, and tremble at his word. What does that mean? What does that mean? Did you know humility is not just thinking you're lowly and thinking you're worthless and thinking you're nothing? That's not humility. In fact, one pastor said when Jesus stands up in the temple and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. That was the most humble thing he could have done because it's what God said about him. A humble people know what God has said about them. A.W. Tozer, I'm going to get it backwards. A.W. Tozer talks about what's the most important thing, and I think it's A.W. Tozer that says, it's what you think about God. It's the most important thing about you. And I love that. That's great. But I would add to A.W. Tozer, if that's not sacrilegious, that the most important thing is not just what you think about God, it's what you think God thinks about you. It is important that we as a people know God's not angry at us who are washed under the blood. Now listen, God hates sin. And those who are in sin and have not come under the blood, they stand in opposition of God, the scripture says. They've drawn a line in the sand and said, I'm your enemy. But those who are under the blood are not in opposition with God. You're on his team. You're on his team. And the most humble thing we can do is come into the house and go, yes, we are lowly and we are dust of the earth and we are the work of your hands, but we are yours. We are yours. And so when we come, I think I quoted it this morning, we come boldly to the throne of grace. Why? Because we're his. Because Jesus has purchased us and washed us and redeemed us. And now we are his. And we don't come in, we don't stand at the outside of the door knocking and cowering and hope that he will open the door. We come running into Dad's office and we sit at his feet. I've told the story before. John F. Kennedy, when he was in office, he had JFK Jr., who was like 2 or 3 years old at the time, and he would be sitting in the Oval Office and 5-star generals would stand outside the door and they would knock and they would wait to be given permission to come into the Oval Office to see JFK, the President of the United States, the leader of the free world. You know who didn't do that? His little boy. They would be in the middle of a cabinet meeting or in the middle of a meeting about wars that are brewing on the other side of the world and how it could affect America and thousands of lives, millions of lives at risk. And his son would walk in and would take his toy train and sit at his dad's feet and play. And it never once occurred to him that that was strange or weird or different than everybody else treated him because that was Dad. And the humble people of God recognize that, yes, he is Lord and he is creator and he is God and he is above all things and in all things and through all things, but he is Dad. So how do we build a house where God delights to come near to his people? We recognize that he delights to come near to his people and we are his. So we are a humble people. We are a contrite of spirit people. What does it mean to be contrite of spirit? It means we're not haughty in our spirit. As Paul would say in Romans, we don't think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. Yeah, we're his, but also we are his creation. We don't come in with our chest puffed out thinking we're better than our brothers or our sisters who may have struggled. We don't look at people who come down to the altar because they need prayer and God to move in circumstances and go, well, thank God I don't need that. Or thank God I haven't messed up like that. A contrite people say, God, I'm one mistake away from falling in a pit where it feels like I can never come out again. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. So we are a humble people. We're a people who are contrite of spirit. And we are a people who trembles at his word. The written word, absolutely. But Jesus is the living word. What does it mean to tremble at his word? It means he is preeminent. He is preeminent. It means when we get into a moment where it feels like, okay, it's time to move on and go on with the next thing in service, and he whispers, and his presence fills the room in such a way that we go, no, hang on a minute. I think he wants something different right now. I know the schedule says we're supposed to move on because I got to get to offering and announcements and giving and all those things, and please give. I forgot to do that this morning, so there's a box back there, and you know the link. But when he comes, he is priority. He is priority. And the temptation is to say, God, we're in a school auditorium, and this is a secular school, and it's not a religious school, and God, these aren't pews, so they aren't holy, or whatever the thing is that gets in your mind that says, how can we build a house for God? We're a mobile church that packs up every Sunday after church, and every Sunday before church we set up. God, how can we build a house for you? We fill it with people who are humble, who recognize that he longs to be near us, and we long to be near him. We are contrite of spirit. We set ourselves properly. My pastor used to say that the scripture says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due season. And if you try to do God's job, exalt yourself. He will do your job and humble you. So we are a people. We are humble, and we were lowly in our hearts and in our spirits, and we tremble at his word. And we say, God, there is nothing and no one, no thing, no program, no schedule, no next in the list, no next in the line that is more important than you in the room near your people. And when you come in, take whatever you want. You take whatever you want. God, if you want my hands up, here they are. If you want my head bowed low, here it is. God, if you want me on my knees, fine. If you want me prostrate before you, you can have it. Because him near is the priority. Him near is the priority. I've told this story several times, and I guess I'll just keep telling it. It's going to turn into one of my stories. I told the Lord, when we open the church, if it's 2 or 200, I don't care. If you're there. Now listen, there have been days that he goes, are you sure? Remember what you said? And I should have kept my mouth shut. And the next group of young people that we bless and put our hands on and send out to plant a church, I'm going to say, keep your mouth shut. Don't say that. But I've told him, I don't care who's in the room, as long as you come. Listen, most of you weren't here for this. Last summer, we didn't have live worship. Last summer, we were doing video worship. Pre-recorded video worship, trying to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. You know how hard that is? You know how hard it is to build in room for God to have his way amongst his people when we're doing video worship? Guess what? He came. He came. We have gathered in my living room with 8 or 10 people. And guess what? He comes. John Pop is playing the guitar on beat and in tune. And my youngest son is playing it off beat and not in tune. And it sounds wretched sometimes, but he comes because he's not looking for physical structures. He's looking for a people amongst whom and in whom he can build his house. So if you leave on Sundays and you go, as I do sometimes, man, I wish we had a fill-in-the-blank room, a different room, a smaller room, a room that was set up the way that we wanted it set up, a room that facilitated us not being so spread out, or a room that just felt better when we were together. I do that so often, and yet the Lord this morning is going, it's not about any of that. It's about me coming near. And when he comes near, it's all we need. Did you notice this morning in worship when he came near? Were any of you looking around going, man, there are a bunch of empty seats? When he walked into the room, were you going, man, this week's been hard? When he walked into the room, was there anything on your mind other than his beauty and his majesty and his wonder? And that feeling that says, God, please, please, I'm begging you, don't go. I'll give you anything if you just stay. When he walks in the room, nothing else matters. Before he walks in the room, it might. And when he walks out of the room, it might. But when he's here, who cares? So Living God Church, he is building his house. He is building his house. He tells Moses, he says, build according to what was shown to you on the mountain. And Paul in the New Testament says this. He says, I have been faithful to the heavenly blueprint. You know, when we launch this church, what we set as the foundation stones of the blueprint? Him in the room. Him in the room. And he has been faithful to fulfill that promise. Years ago, he told me, he said, Brandon, if you make room, I will fill the room. And he does. And he will continue because he is building this house. As Peter says, not made with stones that have been hewn and cut and that are nice and square, with living stones. With living stones. He is building this house. All right, stand with me. We don't have to do reflection today. I'm just going to pray and we can get out of here, okay? Thank you for being willing to keep worshiping. Thank you. I mean that. That is a sacrifice to keep worshiping. Listen, if you don't come from a church like the church we came from, you probably get 30 minutes into worship and go, what are we doing? Why are we still here? At 30 minutes, man, we're just getting in gear. I recognize not everybody was raised like that, but I don't want anything else. Now, there may come a day that after 30 minutes, the Lord says, it's time to move on. And I hope we have the faith to do that. But today was not that day. Today was not that day. So let me pray for you. I'm done talking. I don't think it was 10 minutes, but it was close. Father, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for coming into the room today. Goodness gracious, Lord, thank you for all that you've done in this place. And Lord, thank you that you don't look at the physical structure of a building to determine whether or not you can build your house there. But God, you look at the people, you look at our hearts, you look at our spirits, you look at our intentions and our motives. And Lord, you have seen fit to come near this people today. Thank you so much, Lord. May we never take for granted that you come. You've promised to come and you're faithful to come, but God, I never want to take it for granted. And Father, my prayer for this house and for this people is that you would sear those qualities into us, that we would be a people who are humble, contrite of spirit, and that we would tremble at your word. And Father, this is my prayer. That what you have done today would not be able to be contained in these people. Lord, I pray that as we go back out into the world this afternoon and tomorrow at work and all throughout this week, Lord, I pray that the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit that has met us here, that it would be like, that it would spread, Lord. That it would come exploding out of us, that when we see our friends at work, we wouldn't be able to help but say, let me tell you what the Lord did this weekend. And Lord, I'm asking you for testimonies. Lord, there were impossible situations that in faith came to this altar to meet with you. And God, I'm asking that in the next week, 2 weeks, Lord, that there would be a testimony that would be birthed out of what you've started today, that what was impossible with man, God has done to showcase his glory and his power. And Lord, I pray that even the news of the testimonies would spread, that people would come running from around the region to say, I heard that God meets with people in this place. People we've never known, people we've never ministered to or evangelized, that they would show up on Sunday mornings going, I heard God meets with people here, and I need to meet with God. Let us be a conduit for you to meet with your people. Lord, bless this people as they go out today. Protect them, keep them. Father, I pray for traveling grace as they hit the road, that you would watch over them, and Lord, bring them back home safely. And back here next week, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining us at Living God Church. We pray this word encouraged and challenged you. Be sure to stay connected and keep pursuing a deeper relationship with Jesus. Until next time, blessed.